Join me in a moment of prayer. Holy and gracious God, I thank you for the gift of this night, for the gift of this season. Open our hearts and minds to your light. Fill us with your peace and joy. Amen. Authors, writers, spend many hours crafting the first sentence of a written work. The first line creates the tone of the story. It draws the reader or the hearer into the tale, and it sets the stage for the events to follow. Sometimes the first line is more famous than the story itself. Take the following, for example. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going directly to heaven. We were all going the other way. How many of you here tonight recall hearing this before reading this? Yes, yes. Yeah, it is the first line of Charles Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities, a story that takes place in London and in Paris during the French Revolution. Now, the first line of tonight's gospel may not be quite as elegant. Nonetheless, it sets the stage and the tone for the events to follow. And what follows is a tale of two realms, two worlds, two powers. It begins with an imperial decree that all the world should be registered. Emperor Augustus, the most powerful man of the most powerful nation of that day, the man who on his death in 14 AD is declared a god by the Roman Senate, orders a census for the purposes of determining the proper taxation rates. These imperial words filter down to the emperor's governors for implementation and for enforcement by the most fearsome military might of its day. Then, as today, the decisions of the mighty determine the movements and the destinies of the many. This single decree disrupts the lives of thousands of ordinary people, among them a young couple from Nazareth. There is little doubt that Mary and Joseph would have preferred to stay home in Nazareth for the birth of her first child. even though they knew this child would be special, that this child was holy, they couldn't have wanted the birth to take place in this way. Mary would have wanted to have her first baby in a familiar setting, surrounded by supportive relatives. Instead, she is forced to deliver her child in a strange city and to use a feeding trough for his bed. And Joseph, poor Joseph, he must have felt horribly overwhelmed and inadequate as a husband and a provider when he couldn't find a proper place for his wife to give birth. In our haste to glamorize the Christmas story, we forget how alone and how desperate they must have felt. It must have seemed like the worst of times, a season of darkness and a winter of despair, with nothing before them. The decree of the Roman emperor, however, is not the only word of power in this evening's tale. There is another declaration of power, and it stands in stark contrast to that of the emperor. For this word is not filtered through senators and governors, but it comes directly to a group of very ordinary people, shepherds. And if empires maintain their dominance through fear, it is significant that the first words out of the angel's mouth are, "Do not be afraid." These words of assurance set the tone for the communication that follows, and this message is as close and personal as the emperor's decree is distant and impersonal. "I am bringing you good tidings of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Rejoice," the angel says, "for tonight the Most High has come close, has come to earth in the form of a human child. Rejoice, for God has come to you." And then the angel is joined by a multitude of the heavenly host. And here we catch a glimpse of that other realm, that other world, that other power. Picture, if you will, heavenly armies of angels all arrayed for battle, for that is what the word host means. Host means army. These armies, however, unlike the Roman legions that inflict terror and fear, sing of peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors. When the angels disappear, the shepherds hurry to Bethlehem to find Mary and Joseph and the baby. We can imagine that their visit and the story about the angel's message and the song transform the experience of that night for Mary and Joseph, bringing light where there had been darkness, and hope where there had been despair. Mary, we are told, treasured all these words of the shepherds and pondered them in her heart. Christmas can be the best of times, and it can be the worst of times. For us, or some of us, it is a time of wisdom, a time to return to the mystery of faith. For others of us, it can seem like a return to the foolishness of childhood. For those of us who are surrounded by loving family and friends, it can be a season of light. For those of us who have lost a loved one, or for other reasons like Mary, feel alone, it can be a season of darkness. For those of us who have secure livelihoods, Christmas can be a time of hope and looking forward to the future. But for those of us who have lost jobs, or for other reasons like Joseph, can no longer provide for those we love, Christmas can be a winter of despair. We live, all of us, in the tension between two realms, two worlds, two powers. And the difference between these two realms is not the difference between heaven and earth, but the difference between living in hope, joy, and peace, and living in fear and despair. This tension is the reason for Christmas. For God comes to us at Christmas in the form of a tiny, helpless infant, in order to assure us that the realm of hope and joy and peace is more powerful than the realm of fear and despair. Yes, our troubles and difficulties are real, but even more real is the presence of God with us, Emmanuel. And keep in mind, those words of the angel are not just meant for the shepherds in Bethlehem. They are meant for us. Tonight, God is bringing us good news. God is bringing us light and joy. For though the first line in this evening's gospel is about the power of empire to impose its will on people through fear, it is God who has the greater word of power in Jesus Christ, who comes in love. For the child of Bethlehem is God's first and last word, the Alpha and the Omega, and he will grow up to be the one who conquers the powers of evil and death through his life and resurrection. The one who comes to banish fear and bring peace that will know no end. And this child, Jesus, has come for us. If we hold him in our hearts, we will know Emmanuel, the presence of God with us through the best of times and the worst of times. May this holy night be for all of us the age of wisdom, the season of light, and the spring of hope. Amen. We sing the first Noel on page 12.